This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Sometimes people in a need of legal assistance will ask, well, what type of law does the firm specialize in? That is not a question you need to ask of Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm. So when you are in need of legal assistance, and if you are anywhere in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can call them for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. They're online at BrandonLegalGroup.com. They're huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. They buy team number one in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. They are extremely supportive of my golf events. And if you play in a Todd Wright Tour golf event, and you just like to meet some of the people who represent Brandon Legal Group in a social setting, just ask me and I will be more than happy to introduce them to you. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4-BLG-4ME. Pin Chasers also supports Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. At virtually every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, all players go home with free bowling. And keep in mind, Pin Chasers already makes it easier than most places to bowl because they do not charge you shoe rental. And even if you do not have the proper socks to wear those borrowed shoes, we'll use that term, just ask them and they will provide you a clean pair of socks, new pair, to wear with them so you're comfortable. There are three Pin Chasers locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 4847 North Armenian, Midtown Tampa, 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway and north of Tampa International Airport. They just celebrated 60 years of birthday parties, group outings, league play, date nights, kind of whatever. You know, summertime, get out of the heat, get out of the thunderstorms. It's Pin Chasers. Follow them on Facebook for all their specials and other party ideas, or go to pinchasers.net. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com. Some of you have actually taken me up on the fact that you can interact with me that way. You can also follow me on Facebook. I don't mind. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. I am more active on Facebook and on Instagram. My Instagram, updated for the new year, is at ToddWright2020, than I am for those of you that choose to follow me on Twitter. Basically, Twitter, I'm just sending you promotional information to those other sites and about my golf tournaments and my appearances on, say, VSiN, Spectrum Bay News 9, and my webcast on the Identity Tampa Bay. It was this time yesterday I completed the previous Toddcast. This is Toddcast 75, by the way. Not bad. We started in the new year of 2019, and we cranked out over 70 episodes in 2019, already on episode 75. I want to add to some of the review of the NFL first round. There was something I wanted to compliment the Vikings on in their victory against the New Orleans Saints, in a game that they not only deserved to win, but their coaching staff clearly did a better job than the Saints coaching staff did. And one of the things early on that the Vikings did and the Saints just never really overcame it was the Vikings took their edge pass rushers and for the most part had them come either up the A gaps or just avoid coming off the edges, that they came via the interior and away from the strength of the Saints pass defense. Didn't seem like Drew Brees, and you know, we've talked about Alvin Kamara, and just even though he did put up some touchdowns in his last three games, Kamara really was a disappointment as a running back, as a number one running back. Didn't do the same things he did when Mark Ingram was on four-game suspension for those first four of 2019, and Saints honestly need to make a decision in the offseason on whether or not they need more of a true between-the-tackles running back for their own good as well as for Alvin Kamara's good, because many of those true running plays between the tackles were not executed by Alvin Kamara the back half of the season. They were executed by Latavius Murray and by Taysom Hill. But the Vikings, with that coaching move, and clearly it was something they planned in advance, thinking it would work, thinking it would disrupt Breeze and the Saints' offense, and it did, by taking their talented pass rushers and going up the field more on the interior of the line rather than off the edges and through the tackles, was one of the better coaching moves of the first round and a contributing reason why the Vikings move on as a sixth seed. Also, at the end of the previous podcast, I talked about Seattle and my reluctance to believe that Seattle is a true Super Bowl contender. Let me expound upon that a little bit, because I thought about that a lot since the last podcast. I like Pete Carroll. I like Russell Wilson. And there are other things to like about the Seattle Seahawks, but let's face it. If you're going to be successful in the NFL, those are the two places you need to have the right people. They have them. I do not want to undersell what they have in Carroll and in Wilson. I'm just concerned, and as you heard the talk leading up to the Seattle-Philadelphia game, was just how many starters were not playing in this game combined for the Seahawks and the Eagles, and then the Eagles lose their starting quarterback in the game. I believe they lost one or two other players during the span of the game. Clowney is playing with what we always knew as a sports hernia. He is somehow playing through that. Seattle obviously has some really good talent at linebacker, namely Bobby Wagner. I was just really thrown off by the fact that in Week 16, Seattle lost to Arizona and lost badly at home to the Arizona Cardinals. That was just a very bad loss, especially considering what was at stake for the Seahawks. They were still playing for a number one seed at the time, a first-round bye. They did come back on the Niners in that final Sunday night game, and some would say, well, they were an inch away from winning that game, but the Niners played it from the lead, which you always want to do, and Seattle came up short in that game. And even if they had won that game, they'd still have to have played in the first round. They would have been the three seed, bumping up New Orleans to the two and Green Bay to the one. And I guess, as I said on the podcast yesterday, when you're down to your fourth and fifth best options at running back, you've got to get so creative with what you're doing offensively, and how much of the playbook do you have to work with when you are a run-based offense. Travis Homer and Marshawn Lynch are not Chris Carson. They're not. And sure, Lynch might be able to get a couple of highlight runs or get you in from the one-yard line if he actually gets the ball, but that's where I'm just concerned that Seattle isn't, they don't have what they need to run a significant percentage of the playbook. And you're asking so much out of Russell Wilson at this point, even though DK Metcalf clearly is finding his way and becoming, you know, as AJ Brown had that huge final month for the Titans, Metcalf has come on these last 2 to 3 weeks as well, showcasing what he is able to do, and love some of the things Chris Collinsworth said about him. Said when he met him, he was expecting he'd be a jerk and it would justify why Metcalf wasn't the first wide receiver taken in the draft. And Chris just laughed and said there was none of that. Absolutely none of that about this young man. So I just think Seattle has a lot to overcome. I don't think Green Bay is unbeatable this week. And I sense that of the teams that earned the first round byes, as inconsistent as San Francisco can look, which is odd to say about a number one seed. And then you look over in the AFC and you see Baltimore, who's been the most dominant team in the NFL all year, and especially since week five. And then Kansas City, since Mahomes came back and they got through their little stretch where they lost a few games. I don't think Green Bay has wowed anybody. Now, is it more important to just win games than wow people? Sure. Are they better off than they were this time last year? Yeah, because this time last year they weren't even playing football. And we'll get to that disconnect with Mike McCarthy. That said, Green Bay seems to, they're good at winning close games. It is when Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams have big games that Green Bay wins easy. Is there potential for either of those two guys? Because Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a lot of big games this year. Ask any fantasy owner of Aaron Rodgers. So as it relates to Aaron Jones and it relates to Devontae Adams, I think Adams' matchup is better. If Philly had nobody at the wide receiver position comparable to what Devontae Adams can do. The problem for Green Bay is he's kind of their only legit wide receiving option. None of those other guys, while they make a catch here or there or had a big play once or twice during the season, it's not even close to the level that Devontae Adams can play. It's similar to Houston with DeAndre Hopkins in the sense that when Will Fuller can't go, which is pretty much on any day that ends in a Y, it makes life more difficult on Hopkins. Same with Adams. But Adams and Rodgers do have tremendous chemistry. Adams has come back from that turf toe injury. He's only even mentioned it, I think, once since he's come back. Whether it's lingering or not, he's not playing like it. But the Packers' fortunes probably rest as much with the play of Adams and Jones as they do with the big-name quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson has actually had the better year than Rodgers has. It's a very interesting game. But I did want to go back and just say why. I'll just put it this way. If Seattle can get back to another Super Bowl, considering how little they have at the running back position, for a team built around a high percentage of running plays, it will further the status of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And I just think that's a lot to climb here on the road for the next 2 weeks, winning. Well, they would win at Green Bay, and they could catch a break. If Minnesota can win at San Francisco, if the Niners' defense shows a bit of vulnerability to the Vikings' offense and Garoppolo can't manage the game or have one of his better games, then an NFC championship between the Vikings and the Seahawks, which ironically was where the game we had for our fantasy finale watch party end of week 13, it was the Monday night game, that would be in Seattle. So Seattle could get a home game that way. That's probably their best path to get back to the Super Bowl. All right, quick thoughts on the three coaches that have been named in the last 24-plus hours. Most of you know I'm a longtime Cowboy fan. I've been asked a lot during the search what was going on, and I've been asked since Jason Garrett was officially let go what my thought is on the rapid hiring of Mike McCarthy. I like it. I don't love it. That said, I really don't think in college or pro, and we went through this when the college teams were looking for coaches, there were some, I think, accurate observations made that some schools that might have wanted to move on to someone else didn't because they didn't really see enough out there that excited them to move on from what they currently have. Big dominoes didn't fall. I know people in LA wanted Clay Helton now, and I agree. There was thoughts that James Franklin might go to Los Angeles. He did not. That Florida State hired the Memphis head coach does not satisfy an angry fan base with Florida State. That Willie Taggart immediately resurfaces at FAU. That Lane Kiffin goes to Ole Miss. I mean, none of this is headline grabbing. NFL wise, it takes a lot to be that big time home run hire, that one that has you every year contending for a championship. And I guess some believe that Urban Meyer is it in college and in pro. And I won't disagree on the college end, but on the pro end, I'm not so sure. But as far as Mike McCarthy is concerned, I stepped back and I thought about it like this. I've been one of those who firmly believe Jerry Jones has wanted Sean Payton back for a while, and he hasn't been able to get him. And instead, he just got the guy who's won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton. And you know what? When you think about it, let's go in inverse order of Super Bowl winning coaches, right? Because that's a nice thing to have on your resume as long as you still have a shelf life. So let's go in inverse order and name the coaches who have won Super Bowls. All right. So last year, Belichick, not available. Previous year, Doug Peterson, not available. Previous to that, Bill Belichick, not available. Previous to that was Gary Kubiak. Now, Kubiak is a sort of a game plan guy for Mike Zimmer in Minnesota. And Zimmer even has gone as far to say just how valuable Kubiak has been to him and one of the best hires he's ever made. There was thought that Jerry Jones would have interest in Gary Kubiak, and there was even a scenario where if Kubiak was worried about too much on his plate, how Jason Garrett would stay and help out. But essentially, Kubiak either wasn't available because the Vikings are still playing, although you wonder, there's a theory out there, Todd Archer is so good on Twitter, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN covering the Cowboys, that had the Vikings lost, despite what the Vikings said about retaining Zimmer, that Jerry would have made a run at Zimmer and potentially Kubiak. Let's go on back. 49 was won by Belichick. 48 was won by Carroll. 47 was won by John Harbaugh. 46 was won by Tom Coughlin. He's kind of out of the mix now. 45, Mike McCarthy. 44, Sean Payton. 43, Mike Tomlin. 42, Tom Coughlin. 41 was Tony Dungy, retired. 40 was Bill Cowher, retired. So those are the only names. I don't call McCarthy a home run hire. I actually like Mike McCarthy. I'll talk, I'm sure, in future Toddcasts about how I actually sat next to this man and his son for a good 5 hours in New Orleans a number of years ago before anyone really knew who he was. And just how enjoyable it was. Did we talk football? No. And I'll tell that story another time. Not thrilled about the Mike Nolan decor hire. It feels like friends paying friends back, which is what coaches do. And sometimes it gets them in trouble. Because McCarthy was the coordinator for Mike Nolan when Nolan was a failed San Francisco 49er head coach. Love the Fossil hire, though, pulling him off the Rams staff, because I've always been a Jim Fossil fan, and John, to me, is a lot of what you want in a young coach on the staff, special teams or otherwise. Speaking of special teams, the Giants fan base seems to be wondering what they are getting in Joe Judge. the special teams and, I guess, wide receiver coach for the New England Patriots, that it wasn't a name on anyone's list. They're also pointing to the fact that the assistants under Belichick that go on to be head coaches elsewhere have not done well. McDaniels in his previous stint, Patricia in his current stint, Flores in his current stint, when Charlie Weiss moved on from Bill Belichick. It's all valid. It really is. Now, Mike Vrabel is having a good run right now with the Titans and just beat and even used a few time management tricks that he learned from Bill Belichick. I get what the Giants are doing, but I have the same questions as the Giant fan base. That is this too much of a reach, or are they looking for the next John Harbaugh? I mean, John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. And as I've been saying here on the Toddcast, Jerry Jones did not want Jason Garrett coaching the Giants. At the time of this Toddcast, it feels like the Giants are very interested in having Jason Garrett be their offensive coordinator and might even be associate head coach, where he has knowledge of the division, clear knowledge of the quarterback position, offenses, head coaching experience, and can assist Joe Judge and kind of put him on a learning curve if Garrett is willing to do that. Garrett seems to have no ego at all. If he wants to work this coming year, and if the Browns don't say, come coach us, I don't see why Jason Garrett wouldn't want to take it unless his family says, why don't you take a year off and then see what's there in another year, kind of like Mike McCarthy did. And going back to the Cowboys, I do like that Mike McCarthy took the year to reevaluate his play calling, what he did for the previous 15 years offensively, and embrace some analytics and put that into this to modernize some of his thinking with offense going forward, because it appears as though he's going to retain coordinator Kellen Moore. The Giants seem to prefer Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, to Joe Judge. But instead, the Carolina Panthers owner, through basically a John Gruden amount of money, although it's 7 years instead of 10, at Rhule, and Rhule took it. Now, it's interesting that a few years back, and one of my favorite sites on Instagram is Freezing Cold Takes, there was a quote from Rhule when he was, I believe, at Temple that said, you know, $4 million a year isn't going to change my mind about coaching these kids. Well, he left Temple, went to Baylor, made more money. I don't think $4 million, but I'm sure he got paid well. Maybe he did get $4 million because Taggart got $5 million at Florida State. I just don't think it was that much at Baylor. And here he gets basically $10 million a year to go coach the Carolina Panthers with a lot of questions about the move, about what they do at quarterback, and overall what this new owner is doing to put his stamp on his football team. I'm cynical on the Rhule move. I'm actually more cynical about it than I am what the Giants did, the Redskins did, the Cowboys did. And I know people are saying, well, there are the Browns. They're just sitting there. It was 2 hours after the loss to Cincinnati, and they fired Freddie, and they still don't have anything. Some wonder why you hire guys so quick. I think you hire guys so quick because you're worried that they're going to go somewhere else and it doesn't leave you with another choice. But for now, the Browns, to me, don't need to be in a hurry. Although we hear about front office turmoil. Could they blow this? Sure they could. I haven't heard a name yet that I say, yeah, that's the right guy. But at this point, they're not competing against anyone else to hire a head coach. I guess you could say, well, if they're not careful, if they don't move on a coordinator ready to be a head coach, then that coordinator will decide he's going to stay a coordinator where he is or make a move to another team and be their coordinator. So I get both sides of the argument. But Carolina and Rhule, to me, at that salary, mean, people question the Gruden salary. Now, granted, it was 10 years and not 7. But it was John Gruden, right? If we had taken that list a little further back of Super Bowl winning coaches, you get to John Gruden. And clearly he was going to be in charge on the transition to Vegas. So that's not in question. Gruden's shelf life in Vegas is at least 3 years, right? Can you see a scenario where, and the Raiders did improve this past year. Technically, they were even alive for a playoff berth with some bizarre happenings in week 17. Can you see a scenario where the Raiders would eat the final 6 years of a John Gruden, $60 million left on the contract? No. But Rule and Carolina just has another feel to it, because we're not talking about a coach who won a Super Bowl, albeit one where maybe Carolina had to wow him with the money because the Giants felt he was their man. All right, we'll cut another Toddcast in the next day or two, looking ahead to the NFL divisional round and talk about more of the coaching hires. By then, we may have more of an idea on what's going on in Cleveland. I know they have multiple interviews set up later this week. Perhaps we'll have some more details about what really went down. Perhaps a decision from Jason Garrett on whether or not he's going to join the Giants as their OC, and someone to show Joe Judge a little bit more. I'm sure Joe learned a lot from Bill Belichick, but it'd be different, obviously, now that Joe is actually on the job as head coach in the NFL. So we'll do that later in the week. Remember, my email is write.todd@yahoo.com. I thank Pin Chasers. I thank Brandon Legal Group. And I thank you for listening and hopefully subscribing to the Todd Wright Toddcast.